Okay, one with the Perek Chof Ches, Pasuk Hey, Anshei Ra Lo Yirinu Mishpat, Uvavakshe Hashem Yavinu Kol. Evil people do not understand Mishpat. Uvavakshe Hashem, those who seek Hashem Yavinu Kol, is a very beautiful expression. Uvavakshe Hashem. Those who Uvavakshe Hashem, maybe it comes from, I'm not sure how often this expression appears in Tanakh. Maybe this is the only time it appears, but it's a very beautiful expression. You want to ask, you want to define what kind of person is he. So he says, Yorish Shemayim, he's about Chesed, he has Simcha Sachayim. You ever hear that expression today? That's the most important thing to say for Shidduchim. Simcha Sachayim. But this is the most beautiful expression I feel is, this expression, which I don't know how often you see this in Tanakh, it's what it says here, Umevakshei Hashem. Those people who are seeking Hashem, doesn't say if they are Shemayim, doesn't say if they have Simcha Sachayim, but it says quite a bit. It captures an enormous spectrum of what a person's tafkid is in this world. I mean, Vakshe Hashem, Yavinu Chol, they understand everything. What a powerful expression. Let's see the Mitzudos Pasuk Hey, Lo Yavinu Mishpat, the Anshei Ra, Lo Yavinu Mishpat, Apavoleim Mishpat Peronis. If Chas V'Shalom suffering comes upon a person, kind of as Chas V'Shalom with people who are very evil, evil people, when they suffer, Lo Yavinu Shebigmul Bo, they do not appreciate that they're being punished. Ki Choshrim Hakol Mikra, this is the nature of a Rasha. The nature is, no matter how much he suffers, he's punished. He'll always say it's just an accident. It's not because it's not a punishment for my evil deeds. But Mevakshe Hashem Yavinu Kol. Now here is the way the interpretation of the Mitzudos. This is a very novel interpretation. If not for the Mitzudos, we would not necessarily understand the pasuk in this fashion. What does he understand? He understands the ways of Hashem. He understands Hashkocha Pratis. Kol Dover Haba Min Hashemayim Yavinu Lama Ba V'Alma Ba V'Einim Toilim Shum Dover B'Mikra. Every event that happens in this world is not an accident. Nothing happens by accident. Everything has a reason. There's a reason why it happened. I don't think there's anyone today that we have confidence in that can tell us why events happen in this world. Do you know anyone? I don't know anyone. I don't know anyone that can think of that have confidence. They can say what they want to say, but no one, I don't think we have confidence in anyone that can tell us why bad things happen in this world. But if a real Mevakshe Hashem, if you can find a real one, he would understand the reason why something happens, and it's not a Mikra. Rashi Pasuk Hey, An Sheira Lo Yavinu Mishpat Einem Misimim Lev Lipur Anuyos Ha'asidim Shei. They do not pay attention. The Puranas Ho'asidim, the Puranas that Ho'atidim. I think Ho'atidim is Desi. I'm not sure what that word is. I have just a dalu with a Ho'asidim. She yisabaynenu ba, that they will pay attention to the Yeshuvu midarkom v'yinatzlu. They do not pay attention to the punishment that's destined to come upon them. Because if they would know what was coming upon them, they would do tshuva. They would pay close attention to their deeds. Their deeds are leading them into a place that's not good. And the yashuv midarkam v'yinatzlu, they would do tshuva from the evil deeds and they would be saved from this punishment. So according to Rashi, Rashi is saying something a little bit different than the Mitzudos. According to the Mitzudos, it appears that it's already after the fact. The Anshei Ra have already been punished. They have already suffered tragedy. And they refuse to look back and reflect, why did this happen? It's punishment for my evil deeds. Rashi seems to be saying, no, we're not dealing with after the fact, we're dealing with the future. There is still hope. Rasha is doing terrible things, but he does not understand that these terrible sins are going to lead to future punishment. So it's a whole different approach, Rashi and the Mitzudos, as to when we are admonishing the Anshei Ra. Okay, and then the pasuk concludes according to Rashi, Mvakshe Hashem Yivinu Kol Toiva V'Ra Mishpat. Okay, he has over here. Here they understand everything. They understand good, evil, and judgment. He has over here a French word. What does that word mean?
Justice.
Justice. Yushtis. Yush. Okay, justice, belas, mishpat, kach perish Rabbeinu Rabbeinu ben Chuma al dor hamabul. So here the Rashi alludes to a medrash that this pasuk alludes to the hamabul. We attach the entire pasuk to Noach and his generation. Noach was considered as a very beautiful idea, as we mentioned before, that Noach here is the one that's getting, according to the medrash, at least according to the Tanchuma, is getting the title of the Mevakshei Hashem. Noach and his children, Noach, Mevakshei Hashem, Yavinu Chol, they understand why things are happening, what will happen, the world will come to an end if you do not do tshuva. The generation were called the Anshei Ra, Lo Yavinu Mishpat, they refuse to understand the punishment, the justice that will come upon them for Ki Hishchis Kol Basar Darko Yala Aretz. But it was Noach who understood what was to come, and he is called the Mevakshei Hashem. And the Torah Noach is called the Tzaddik. And here in Mishlei, according to the Medrash, he's called the Mevakshei Hashem. Okay, let's go to Pasuk Vav. Toiv Rosh, it's a beautiful Pasuk. Toiv Rosh Holech Besumoy Meikesh De Rochayim Vehu Asher. Better be poor. Now, it's not yet clear what poor poverty refers to. It can either refer to wealth or it can refer to Chochmah. We'll see in a few moments. Toiv Rosh Holech Besumo, better walk in your innocence, live a life of simplicity, even though it may come at the expense of being poor. That's better, that is preferred. Me ikesh derachim v'hu ashir. We'll read it backwards, to be wealthy, but the wealth comes at the expense of being a crooked, living a crooked lifestyle. Let's see the mitzvahs pasuk vav. Holech besumo, she'enem merame befiv, le'asoif, and does not deceive other people with his mouth to gather wealth. V'harehu Ba'onyoy, he remains in a state of poverty. Or not necessarily poverty, but he does not take advantage of things he can do to earn enormous amount of money. No black hat techniques. You ever hear that expression, black hat? Black, isn't it? I mean, we in the Orthodox world, we use black hat for a black hat, but in the business world, there are always techniques. What?
Hackers?
Not hackers, they're black, called black hat, they're called this white hat, black hat, and gray hat. I'm on a list. I used to pay a lot of money to be part of this forum, private membership only. It was a lot of money. I stopped, I canceled because I wasn't using it too much anymore. And it was a certain marketing techniques. He always would present three techniques. The white hat techniques, the gray hat techniques, and the black hat techniques. And the black hat techniques always at your risk only. I'm not responsible. If they come for you to lock you up, don't come blame me. And as I noticed, as time went on, the emphasis became the black hat. And the white was, you know, those of who's interested in doing the white hat techniques. So that's exactly what it says. It says over here, Toiv Rosh Holech to Besumo, better go and live a life of tumoy, of innocence, of erlichkeit, even though it comes at the expense of being poor, then being a crooked, living a crooked lifestyle, with the advantage of becoming rich. One more time, the words of the Mitzudos, Holech Besumo, Shein Ramah, Bepiv, Lesef, Holein, Hari, Anyoy. He remains in the state of poverty, Mi Ikesh, Mi Mi. Mm-hmm. A person that acts in a crooked way, to deceive people. So Rashi is a very similar approach. Rashi seems to say we're dealing over here with money, cash, assets. You can live a life, engage in business that is deceitful, and become very successful. But the pasuk here says that that's not in the best interest of your neshama. Okay, let's see Rashi. Rashi says something a little bit different. Toiv Rosh on af oni shebetoira. V'holich besumoy b'masim tovim. Do masim tovim. Rather than be a chacham. So Rosh here means poor in knowledge. A person, now this is a shocking thing. This is a shocking thing, and this is very true. I mean, this is really touches upon a very different approach in Hashkafa. Hashkafa Hasidim used to not be into, and today it's a little different, But my parents always used to tell me this, but Hasidim, when you're 18 years old, that's it. You're driving a truck. You're doing milk deliveries. There's no busha to make a parnasa. Even though when you're 18 years old, even though taking that type of lifestyle, you're not going to be a Talmud Chacham. You're going to work 18-hour shifts a day, driving trucks and driving buses and who knows what. You're not going to be a Talmud Chacham. That's the reality. But that's a much better approach to Yadus, because you don't have to go and be supported by your shver, and you don't have to go and be on all the government programs and be a ganef and take advantage of everyone. It's exactly what it says in this pasuk. It's exactly what it says here. Toiv Rosh, better, according to Rashi's interpretation, better be an Am Haaretz. That's what it says. You can't deny what it says. Af oni shebetoira, hoylech besumo, and live a life of tmimus, earn your keep, nene migias kapo, don't take advantage, then miike shterachim, vilku osha, be a great talmud chacham, sit in kol for 25 years, and live off slave labor of your parents and your in-laws, and go on all government programs, and go into these very shady business deals with your chaverim. That's not a mahalach. Even though the end is, you'll say the ends justify the means. I'm a Talmud Chacham, I have an appreciation for Torah, I'm a Bariska, I know everything there is to know. This is the pasuk says explicitly, this is corruption at its best. That's what it says. Now, I have to tell you, today it's not like that by the Hasidim either. Okay, we all know that the Hasidim, Baruch Hashem, the Hasidim, they're very into learning. In fact, in some degree, the Hasidim, their learning has outdone the learning of the Litv Shoilam. Yeah. That's a fact.
But they had to present it.
But at the same time, you see also that the Hasidim also are having very big nisyonos when it comes to Ikesh Derochim. Okay, people are in the newspaper for corruption, not just from the Litvish Olam.
It's across the board.
It's across the board, but according to the way their mahalich that was very popular about 40, 50 years ago, it would never have come to that, because the whole mahalich was there wasn't such a. Okay, I understand. So today we live. Today everyone has taken a little bit from the other. And today, on the other hand, there are definitely groups among the yeshiva world that are not looking to sit in kolo. I mean, today everyone knows kolo is not for everyone, and it's a different world today. But this pasuk says quite a bit. It's a very, and again, this you'll says only according to Rashi, because Rashi is the one that says that the focus here is Rosh, and Osher refers to Torah. Better be an Am Haaretz who is a Tomim than be a Talmud Chacham who is Ikesh Derochayim. Dvarim Pshutim Admo, but sometimes we need to review the basics. Okay, I know a certain Rav, he always says, I don't know, I heard him say this a few times, he says that today if you write a shidduch resume for a boy or a girl, the boy is a Tomim. He's a Tomim, which means he's a simple tamim. He'll never get a shidduch. Not one boy or girl will want to go out with this person. And he says that's exactly, he always is screaming, that's the problem with this generation. The Torah says this is the biggest smiler. Tamim tihiyeh im Hashem Elokeicha. That's what Hashem wants from us, tamim. And unfortunately, if you're a tam, you're a simple person, you're not a clever person looking how to beat the system, then unfortunately you don't have much standing in society. Pasuk here says the same exact thing. Toiv tod rosh holich besumo. Better be a rosh. Better be impoverished.
You're talking about
Erlichkeit, of course. Well, no, it doesn't necessarily mean. Doesn't necessarily
have to mean someone who's,
Well, we know the famous word in the Haggadah, Yaakov Ish Tom Yoishev Oy Holim. You have in the Haggadah, the Tam. The Tam in the Haggadah is not a very, doesn't get much praise.
No.
But Yaakov, it says, V'Yaakov ish tom yoyshev oyholim. So what's the common answer? Yaakov was a baal, an ish tom. Yaakov wasn't just tam, a tam. Yaakov was an ish tam. He was the baal habos over the tamimah. So when he wanted to be a tam, he was a tam. When he wanted to deal with Lavan, he dealt with Lavan, according to Lavan's crookedness. But stamatam, that has a bad connotation, that's not necessarily a good thing. But here, with not in the context of this pasuk, the tam obviously is a very good thing. Okay, again, this pasuk also refers to Chazal also darsh, and this in reference to Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu was the ultimate tam. Hashem said, Hisalich lefanai veheyeh samim. Another pasuk that's tam that was in reference to Avram Avinu. And Avram Avinu, why was he called a Rosh? Was he called a poor? Avram Avinu was one of the wealthiest people in the world later in his life, but in the beginning he was all alone. He was Avraham or Ivri, the whole world was on the other side. Being all alone, it's not fun. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Zayin. Neitzer Torah Bein Mevin V'roye Zoylelim Yachlim Av. The person who guards the Torah is a person who is a Bein, is a child, a human being who is of understanding. But V'roye, a person who frequents. Roye here means a person who attaches himself. He frequents himself with Zoylelim. A Zoylelim is Lashon of Zoylel V'Soveya. We have by the Ben Tzerumare, Yachlim Aviv, he destroys his father. He will deplete, embarrass his father, gives busha to his parents. Let's see the pasuk Zayin Mesudas notes there. Hashomer es haTorah, son who guards the Torah, Yomer Olav, they will say about him, Shu Benoy Shal Ish Mevin. So they're going to give cover to the father. I translate, Benny's a child. He's a child who understands. No, the Mesudas says something a lot deeper. He says, people will give credit to the parents. Yomer Olav, Shu Benoy Shal Ish Mevin, Uvavur Havina, due to understanding Hizras Beno Lishmar Torah, due to the father's understanding, he gave him a good chinuch. He sent him to the right schools, if you could find the right schools to send him to. So he Yaimu Allah Shahu Beno Shal Ish Mevin Vavur Abina Hizras Beno Lishmar Torah, and because of his deep understanding, he guided his son. He warned his son to guard the Torah. Imkein Mechabed Esavid B'Masav, and therefore people will give honor to the father for his good deeds. Avol Hamechab. But a person who attaches himself to gluttons, by doing so he abandons the Torah. He puts to shame his father. People will say about the father, the father was a foolish person. He never learned Das HaTorah, because if the father learned Das HaTorah, he would have instructed his children in a different derech. Rashi, V'roye Zoylelim, Mechaber Loi Zoylelim, V'hu Lashon Reyim. So the word the Roye means to, like a Reya, to befriend. It means a shepherd. What is a shepherd? Shepherd, he befriends the sheep. That's when he hangs out the whole day in the field with the sheep. You're a friend. Reyim Ahuvim. So here also, Roye over here means that he befriends Zoylelim, low class people. Now, the Bain is Bigmatria Eliyahu. Is that correct? I didn't even figure it out. Eliyahu. Bain, is that true?
Yeah.
Eliyahu is Bigmatria Bain. So I saw somewhere that says that this Neitzer, a person who guards the Torah, Bain Mevin, it's a Medrash, I saw this in the art scroll, Bain is Eliyahu. Eliyahu Navi will grant him understanding. Hine Anochi Shalech Lechem Eis Eliyahu Hanavi Lifnei Boyayim Hashem. Hashem sends, there are many Eliyahus. There's the Eliyahu Hanavi, the Eliyahu. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu also sends minor Eliyahus to every person in their time of need. And the person who is a Neitzer Torah, Eliyahu, he will, Hashem will send him his private Eliyahu to give him understanding in what he needs to do. Every person is in need of salvation, whether it's in Shidduchim, in Parnasa, in Refuah, and there are always major decisions to be made in life. And a person really doesn't know what to do. You need someone to grant you guidance. A doctor can be your Eliyahu Hanavi. There can be, you know, there are many doctors. Which doctor will be the one that has the right technique, the right mahalach? Which, what? It's Eliyahu Hanavi. So there it's Eliyahu Hanavi. There we refer to the Hanavi. We refer.
So somebody gives you Seris Tovah.
That's also. He's a Me'ain. He's a Me'ain of the Eliyahu. A lot of the Farshim say this. There's not just one Eliyahu. There is. Every person in their life has a person they can say, he was my Eliyahu Hanavi in this particular instance. He was Mevaser, but Seris Tovah. He's the one that gave me Hadracha. He prepared me for what I need to do. And that's what the Mefarshim, the article, he brings us down. I'm not sure he brings down from. He brings this very interesting shot. In order to get the Siyat Deshmaya to be Zecha to an Eliyahu Hanavi, the Bain, the Begmatri Eliyahu, that will grant you understanding in what to do in life, you need just to be a Noitzer Torah. You need to guard the Torah.
The pasuk that follows,
yeah,
that pasuk is
Mar behind the boat.
Al-Banim.
So he's saying you want to say the reason why Eliyahu is called the Ben is because the association. You can make a gematrius like this, like that way. You know, I don't have much faith in gematrius. I'm not from the gematria people, but this is what it says. It's an interesting idea. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Let me just make sure I'm not forgetting over here any important medrash. Okay, by the way, the previous pasuk, I just left out the previous pasuk, the pasuk of Tov Rosh Holech V'Suma Me'ikish Torah Chayim V'Hu Ashid, that refers also, the mentioned Torah refers to Yaakov Avinu verse Eliphaz. Eliphaz, the Shaliach of Esav. Yaakov Avinu was a very wealthy man. Rivka sent him to go return to Lavan, and Esav sent Eliphaz, his son, to kill Yaakov Avinu. And Eliphaz says, what can I do? I'm the inikul of Yitzchak. I'm not going to kill you, but what am I going to do with my father? So, Ani Choshev Kemes, he was the nephew, also, but Ani Choshev Kemes, take away all of my money, therefore it'll be like I died, and you can go back to your father and say, mission accomplished. So here is the Medrash reads that into this pasuk. Toiv Rosh Cholich Besuma. Yaakov Avinu, he was a poor man. He went to Lavan with not a penny. Bemaklai. All he had was his staff. But he went Besumai. Yaakov Ishtam. Yoishev Aholim. Yaakov spent 14 years first learning in the base Medrash of Shem V'Ever. The same term. Tom. Yoishev Aholim. That's what he did for 14 years. Better than being the Ikesh Derachayim V'hu Asher. Esav was the Asher, a very wealthy man. But he was the Ikesh Derachayim. He was a deceiver. He tricked his father by faking out his father and telling him, I'm a tzaddik. I'm like the chazir that extends the split hooves, even though it's not malas gera. So that's a medrash in reference to, we explicitly plug in Esav and Yaakov into that pasuk. Okay, let's just go back. Now then we go to Noitzotain, pasuk Zayin. We did. Let's go to pasuk Ches. Marbe, this is a famous pasuk when it comes to ribis. Marbe hoinoi b'neshech uvesarbis. A person that increases wealth for neshech is to bite, uvesarbis, and increase, two terms which refer to ribis. Taking ribis, one of the averos that there are many different lavim associated with ribis. Today it's becoming, they actually put out some ads in the paper. I saw it even in the Flatbush Jewish Journal, an asar from the Rabbanim that has been brought to their attention that a lot of people are engaging in different business techniques and they're not nizer in having a proper heter iska. There are many things, many times you don't even realize when you need a heter iska. And so here it says, the person increases wealth, b'neshech v'sarbis l'choinin dalim yik b'tzenus. The pasuk here says, Hashem will take away all of that money, and that money will go to a person who's kind to the poor. You're really gathering money not for yourself, you're gathering money for someone else. Let's see the pasuk ches in the mitzvah of David, marbe, har marbe choinin b'neshech v'sarbis, hinei lo l'atzmi yikabe tzahoin. He's not gathering money for himself, but what's going to happen, ki hamokim yikach menu v'yitinenu l'mit shechoinin esadal. Hashem will take away that money and give it to a person that's gracious to the poor. Rashi pasuk ches mar b'chayinu b'neshech v'sarbis l'chayin d'alim harishus, the government shaymalav shuhu misasher, he's wealthy. Beloy mishpat. They hear that he's getting money for neshech v'sarbis. That's without mishpat. V'noylim mimoynoy uboynim loy gesharim. What will they use the money for? They'll steal his money, taxes. And don't forget your taxes. April 15 is coming up, and they'll take all that money. They'll build bridges. Ugesharim umesaknin boy hadvachim, they'll build roads, vizel chanina stalim, and then that will be for the poor. Because the poor people will be able, the problem though is that to go over the bridge today, it costs so much money, you have to be a millionaire to go across the bridge today. What does it cost to go over the Verrazano? What's the Verrazano cost now?
$14.
I don't even know, you go easy pass, I don't even know what they charge you, what they... They suck out. Mm-hmm. And the battery, how much is that?
Batteries is half that.
That's outrageous. Outrageous. They want to put up tolls now on the Brooklyn Bridge, and Manhattan Bridge, Williamsburg Bridge, before you turn around. So it says the only lechonin dalim yikvet senu. Lechonin dalim, what are you talking about? Lechonin dalim? You got to be a multimillionaire to go on the bridge. But it says over here that the government will take away the money and use the money for the programs. It goes lechonin dalim. Okay, now this is the pshat. Now, derech agav, just the sentence, Lord, and why is it such a terrible thing to be engaged in ribbis? What's the har of engaging in ribbis? I once saw a very interesting idea. Ribbis, we know milvil lohitzadin. Let me ask a general question. It's actually Yitzias Mitzrayim. Yitzias Mitzrayim, Hashem told Klal Yisrael they should borrow. When they leave Mitzrayim, they should borrow clothing from the Egyptians. So she'ela, and they never paid them back. They kept whatever they borrowed, they kept. What's the difference between borrowing something and deriving benefit, and from borrowing money and paying back interest? L'chor, it's exactly the same thing. When you rent something. When you rent something, I'm borrowing your object. You have a hammer. I'm going to borrow your hammer. And I'm going to use it for a day. I'm going to give it back to you. Plus, I'm going to pay you $10 for the fee for using it. So the person who lent the hammer, it's ribbis. Isn't it the same thing as ribbis? He.
Aging.
A hammer. Let's assume the hammer is not going to age. It's already worn. It's worn. There is no opportunity cost. Let's say it's sitting in his toolkit. The hammer is 50 years old. It can't get any more dense. The handle is as worn as it can possibly get. The metal on the hammer is there's no reduction in its market value by lending it to another person. No depreciation.
The owner could sell it.
But he didn't, and he doesn't.
Right, exactly. So, yeah. So, take that example and contrast that with I have in the bank $100. It's sitting and doing nothing. It's not invested in any funds or any bond or any stock. I'll lend it to you for the day, and you'll give it back to me tomorrow. Plus, you give me $10 for the service of lending you my $100. So one is an Isser Daraisa with multiple Isser. Lending money for a day, I'll give you $100, you'll give me back $110, $100 plus the principal plus the fee for borrowing the money, is multiple Isser Daraisa. It's what it says over here. And when you rent property, it's a mitzvah. You're doing a personal chesed. Of course you have to pay for this. So what's the difference? What is the difference between rental and borrowing money? So the answer is as follows. When you borrow money, there's a principle in the Gemara that it's called milva lehoitza nitna. Even if I give you 100 crispy dollar bills, the moment I give it to you, you have no obligation to pay me back those dollar bills. When you lend money, the money you lend is just represents an abstract obligation of paying back money. Milvil lohitza nitna. There is nothing tangible. You have now an obligation to pay back a choif. When you borrow an object, a hammer, even though I'm using the hammer the entire day, it's your hammer. It's your hammer. You are the owner. You have this. It's this specific. I have no right to say to you, I'm not going to give you back the hammer. I'm going to give you back its value. The hammer is worth $100. I'll give you back $110. The lender can say, the owner can say, no, I want back my hammer. There's nothing to talk about. That's the difference when it comes to money. Move along. It's so different. What? Milva lo yitzar represents the concept of yesh me'ayin. In this world, there's no such thing as yesh me'ayin. Everything is rooted in the Ribbono shel Olam. When you lend someone money, that money now disappears into ayin, into something that's abstract. When you now gain profit, $10 for lending someone money, and the money has disappeared, it resembles, this is a machshav, it's a drush. I think the place I saw this was Rabbi Yonis and David, he wrote this. Rabbi Yonis and David, his father-in-law, Rav Chutner, was the editor, one of the original editors of the encyclopedia, the Oitzer Mefarshei HaTalmud, put out by Masada Rav Kook. Put out by Masada Rav Kook, this is the earliest, what? Rav Chutner, Mechaim Berlin. Yeah. Rav Chutner was a very big supporter of Rav Kook.
There's a family connection in there. I
mean, right. Okay, but he was an editor. He was an editor for the Encyclopedia Talmudis, and then after he was. No, that's him.
It's not really from Chaim.
But I think he was involved with it also. I think he was involved.
I think his name is Yosef.
Maybe you're right. I don't know. Probably. But one thing I know, that when they put out the chiluk on Bava Metzia. So they asked his son-in-law, I think there was some connection. Right. You'll check it out, you'll Google it. There was some connection. Yonis and David, he wrote a piece in the Hakdamah to Bava Metzia about Ribbis. If I'm not mistaken, he talks about this idea that in Ribbis, this idea of Ribbis is a ged of yesh me'ayin. You are creating something out of nothing. I lend you money, the money disappears. There's an abstract obligation to pay back money. From that nothingness, I'm going to profit. I'm going to derive profit. That's Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah is yesh me'ayin, you're creating something out of nothing. There's no such thing. Everything in this world has a shorish, has a root. When you lend someone your hammer, that's not ayin, it's my hammer. When I profit $10 from lending you my hammer, it's my hammer which is bringing in profit. There is a yesh, and it's yesh mi yesh. So when you want to derive benefit from the Ribbono shel Olam, who's the ultimate yesh, that's perfectly fine. But the reason why ribbis is fundamental, the reason why the Torah, because it gives a person the impression, a lifestyle of yesh mi ayin. And here the pasuk again emphasizes that point. Now we know there's a halacha, there's an interesting in Medrash, we know there's a halacha that when it comes to a non-Jew, you are allowed to take ribbis. Lanachri sashich, anachri, you should take ribbis. So someone has said that even though you should take ribbis, the Torah does allow one to take ribbis. There were minhagim. This is a very controversial issue, not to take ribbis even from a guy. And that the reason why that's so controversial is because it's one thing you want to make nuchumers, you want to make gedarim, but you can't make a geder where the Torah explicitly says that it's mutter. So since the Torah says lanachri sashich, you have no right to go now and make a geder. We want to stay away from ribbis. Don't even take ribbis from a guy. So that's. But the Medrash, I think, actually alludes to this. Let me read you what it says over here.
But how would
yesh me'ayin?
If you take ribbis from a
goy,
you're making yesh
me'ayin. You're taking ribbis from a goy. So in that situation, yeah, the Torah says it's goyim have different standards. You're right. It's a drush. It's not on drush. Nothing is perfect. You always can. It's an idea. It's an idea which has to be understood in its context. You're right. But it is definitely an interesting idea. It's an interesting idea. When you lend money, milva lohitza nidna. It's gone. There's nothing tangible. It's invisible. It's abstract. From something abstract, I'm going to profit? That is what Avodah Zarah is all about. In this, by Yadus, there's no such thing that's invisible. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Yesh, is the Shorish of all Bracha. To go say that Bracha comes into the world without a Ribbono shel Olam.
Also, maybe that because a guy believes in Yesh.
So you're punishing him. Yeah, but by punishing him, you're putting yourself you're involving yourself in this. It's a Jush. It doesn't work out. You're right. It does not work out when you're dealing with Goy. This whole thing doesn't make sense when it says, Lanach Rishashach. Goy doesn't make sense.
I'm an attorney. I charge for my fees. There's nothing tangible.
No, you're doing a service. There is a something tangible. He's doing a service. What are you talking about? There is certainly this something tangible.
Money is a service. If I give you money that you need to...
It's a loan. When you give a loan there's nothing. You give that the loan, I'm giving you $100. You have an obligation to pay me back $100. There's no service. I've given you the money. The money is gone. You owe me the $100 for the time that you keep the money. As every day passes, you have to pay me money for the time, for something for that time that you have not yet paid me back.
Use that money.
It's not called a service. The focus of lending a person money with ribbis is not the service of handing over the money. The focus is the amount of time spent that the money is not in my possession. For that is what you're going to. That's where I'm going to draw profit. If you're a lawyer, you're a doctor, you're a carpenter, you're a computer programmer, you are providing a tangible service. What is it? Heter iska. Heter iska is an investment. You're not lending. Basically, heter iska is that when your partner, I'm giving you money. What do you need the money for? Why am I giving you money? Because that's problematic. You're dealing, you're touching money. If you have a heter iska where the person is not using money for investment purposes, then you have problems. I don't remember. This is a big sugya. There's a big sugya of different types of heter iskas. But generally speaking, when you give a heter iska, you're giving a person money, and the person is taking that money and is using it for something. You become a partner in that venture. So it's not considered a loan, it's considered to be a business investment. That's the technique. It's half. It's a complicated thing, but okay. But the pasuk here talks about Mar B'chayin Ben Eshel
Esav. Yeah. The Muslims also have a thing against ribbis.
That. Yeah. That's why they put.
So they have special banks which issue mortgages. I don't know what the principle is, but it could be like
they use Jewish banks.
No,
they do. They used to. It used to be that they were not allowed to be. They were more machmir than us. They used to be, go back hundreds of years, with the Muslims, they were not allowed to engage in ribbis. So they made the Jews, the bankers, to do all the ribbis, all the dirty work for them. But we're not allowed to do ribbis either, but we have heter iska, and we have all these other legal loopholes. But the Hanami, the Christians also had this issue.
No, but they had usury laws.
That's why the Jews were typically the bankers in Spain, Portugal. That was one of the big.
I'm talking nowadays, and they have special Muslim banks for mortgages.
Saudis. So how do they get around? How do they get around their?
I don't know the technicality, but obviously it's styled after ours.
All right. Okay. So let's see what it says. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. The next pasuk says, this is a very famous pasuk test, may sir oznoi mishmoya Torah, gam tifilosoi to'eva. Person that turns away his ear from listening to Torah, his tefillah is also an abomination. This pasuk teaches us the concept that your learning is only as good as your davening. And your davening is only as good as your learning. The two are totally zeb is as some learn. That's what the shtei halechem. The shtei halechem is one loaf of bread represents. Shtei halechem is a carbon, but it also represents luchu lachem ubelachmi. Represents Torah. There's two loaves of bread. One corresponds to Torah. One corresponds to tefillah. The lechem itself corresponds to Torah. You offer it as a mincha to Hashem that corresponds to tefillah. Basically, there are many Mamari Chazal that tell us this concept that Torah and tefillah are totally zeh b'zeh. I always say over that it's very rare. One of the rarest qualities to find today is Talmidei Chachamim who are also their Balei Avoida. There are many very big Talmidei Chachamim out there. But they don't daven. I mean, no. Daven, their davening is nothing special.
They don't make
their davening is nothing special. You watch them daven. If they weren't wearing a kapata, and you would say they're just a regular, average balabas is on his way to go to work to a doctor, lawyer, or whatever. There's nothing special. That's the way it is. Then there are people who are very big bali. If you go to a shul, there are people that come early and they daven with their slavas. You find such people, but they're not known to be big talmidei chachamim. They're good people. They're not to find a person that davens the way you should daven and also be a real heavy duty talmid chacham. One in a million. What? Are you doing private? Go watch them. Go to shul. go to shul. You go to a yeshiva, and a yeshiva will typically have, let's say you go to a major league yeshiva, and a yeshiva will typically have, let's say, 10 ramen. 10 people who are being paid full-time salaries, or who are rush a yeshiva. How many of them come to davening every single day?
Give an example. Rabbi Schwab's son, Rabbi Sefer, had his father.
Yeah.
He tells a story that he had to go someplace 5:30 in the morning. And the meeting was later, so he went in to say goodbye to his father. His father's in the room. And there he's davening, he's pouring his heart out.
That's Rabbi Schwab.
That's
Rav Schwab. That's Rav Schwab was one of a kind. He was one in a million.
How do you know that? Tell me if I'm
not the same way. Well, it's not. That's right. You don't. Maybe you don't know. But unfortunately, if you hang out with them long enough, you know you can't.
I mean.
What do you mean tefillah b'ram? There are certain people who are Rashi Yeshiva. They give very high level shiurim, and they're davening in Frankel's in Landau's. They're davening a 20-minute shmones. Davening a 20-minute shacharis. They run through the davening just like any other person. Okay, so you tell me one time they daven like this one time. No, this is what they you hang out with them for years, and this is their style of davening. There's nothing wrong. They're following halacha, but they don't excel. They're not. This is not their thing. Their thing is learning. Their thing they have other talents. There's nothing wrong. I'm not talking about what's in private. I'm talking about people that we know for a fact. This is their derech of life.
They would seem, that they would seem to also have inside the Beis Hamikdash the learning part and hurry up with the Beis Hamikdash the tefillah part.
Not necessarily. In time of Chazal, there was this understanding that if you're heavily involved in learning, you're potter from davening. Davening was not in the Beis Medrash. There was no tefillah. In the Beis Bate Midrash, in time of Chazal, the learning was 24/7. It was a mokoyim only for learning. There's no mincha, there's no shachris, there's no ma'ariv. You want to daven? You want to daven mincha? You leave the Beis Medrash and you go across the street to the Beis HaKnesses to daven mincha.
And hurry up. I don't
necessarily hurry up and come back. Me'ikar hadin, ha'isav yosik in Talmud Torah, you potter from tefillah. Me'ikar hadin. Today, no one is on the madrigo where they can see that their learning is done with such intensity that they're potter from davening from tefillah. We don't have such a thing today because today no one can tell you that they're learning with full concentration. But in the time of Chazal, it's very clear there were people like that.
They didn't daven. But did that mode or trend get passed down from generation to generation?
Meaning, obviously not. Obviously, because today it's unacceptable. Today, if a person doesn't daven three times, that's it. You're out. You're viewed as being a person that's not 100%. Now, I'm not saying people that don't do it. There are people who don't do it, but it's unacceptable. At least officially, it's unacceptable. Not to daven three times, even three times with a minion.
No, but the emphasis I'm talking about, the emphasis.
Well, even those people, Gemara makes clear, even those people who, let's say, did not daven every single because they were sold out, but when they did daven, when there was an ace tzara, or yomim noiroyim, yomim hadin, or different times during the year, then they daven. And the Gemara tells stories when they daven, the whole world shook when they daven. These are exceptions. Here, the point is, there are two. I know about a certain Rashi who doesn't do this anymore. Hasn't done this probably for decades. But I know they said about him that years ago. He was really, really into learning, and he did not daven the day that he gave shir. He did not daven. He davened at home b'yichidus, because he put so much koyches into his shir. He felt that if he's going to go come to yeshiva and daven, and the boys are going to talk to him and go in, go out, he would not be able to build up an intensity for his shir that he felt that he could not otherwise give. So on those days that he gave shir, shir klali, he would daven, he'd stay up the whole night, whatever he did, he davened privately at home in the basement, And that way he maintained his, he davened, but he davened b'yichidus. Today he doesn't do that anymore. He hasn't done that probably for decades, this person. He doesn't, mamash, doesn't miss a day, doesn't miss a minyan. But there's something to it. There definitely is something to it. Okay, but the point over here is, over here there are two amudim, meisa ozna v'shmoya, Torah gam tiyulos, always this pasuk always was on the tip of my tongue, so I used to give it to Afyomi. And if chas v'shalom, I would go over by 1 second, came time for ma'arif, we started daf yomi, and then it was ma'arif, and people came from the outside. So they came from the outside to daven ma'arif. And if it would go over by 1 second, literally on the clock, no. And always on the tip of my tongue was Meiser Oznoi Mishmaya Torah. You know, it's one thing, you write over a minute, 60 seconds. Kvalt, you write. Take away from your life 60 seconds. But I have the clock in front of me. I know I just want to finish up a thought. I may go for 30 seconds, and some people that are already on your case, it's disgusting. It's just pure disgusting. What? Not the people sitting in the shir itself. Outsiders that came to daven, And the truth was, the minyan, I also felt it wasn't fair because the minyan only started because of the shir. Before we had the shir, there was no minyan. There was no minyan for ma'ariv. So the minyan was, we daven, we learned, and after we learned, we daven ma'ariv. So it was just the minyan. Us, all of you want to join us for the minyan? Okay, very nice. Kol hakavod, we can use, we don't always have a minyan. But to go and to start making these ugly comments, it's just disgusting. And the Musa Haskell is, when we walk into a shul, and if the rabbi is going overtime, it happens every so often, you go into a shul, and the rabbi is giving the shir between Mincha Ma'arif, or rabbi is giving the shir Shabbos afternoon before Mincha, and the rabbi may be going over 1 minute, and even just to stand there and fold your hands and look at the rabbi with a dirty look and say, no, I have more important things to do, that's just a violation of this pasuk. Meisir ozno mishmoya Torah gam tifilosoi. Toyeva. It's a very powerful word. It's an abomination. Hashem doesn't want abominations. There's a very beautiful var from the Al Shulch, but I see little here. It's a medrash Yalkut Shemayin. Yalkut Shemayin says that, what does it mean here? Meisa Oshem Mishmayin. It's something to say. You tell a person a var, and before you have a chance to finish the var, they say, I heard it already. I know the var. Don't bother me with nonsense. Don't repeat yourself 100 times. So, such a person who doesn't want to hear the word again, to review, so Hashem says, what are you davening to me, Shmon Esrei? I heard the same Shmon Esrei this morning. Because I heard this small already. Hashem will say back to you, I heard your tefillah already. The Al-Shech says it, but I think it's here also a medrash says come out the same thing.
You learned the pasuk before that the same way.
Yeah.
Marba chayna, not chayna. Marba groina chayna b'neshech.
Yeah.
The tarbis, you biting into the, when you hear the rab give it the drasha, is lachayna dalam ibesena. You become a shnara.
You become a schnarr. You're saying a lot of drusha. You're really pushing the envelope. Okay, let's see over here the mitzudos dav pasuk test. Meisa ozma al ki enei machshev divrei hazulos. He does not. The mitzudos is a little bit of a different of an emphasis. You don't give chashivas to someone else. Someone else is speaking, and you don't want to hear what he has to say. L'chein therefore yeshula mida b'mida. It's mida keneged mida. If his words of someone else, these words of Torah that he's teaching you, are not important, ki hamakayim baruchu mitaev tefilasa will abominate your prayer. Ve'ena machshiva, it will not be considered important. V'loy l'ratzon tia, will not be acceptable before our Kodesh Baruch Hu. The addition that the mitzvah is providing is mida keneged mida. Okay, let's go to pasuk yud. Pasuk yud is mashke yisharim baderech ra bish chuso hu yipol. Usmimim in chalu toiv. Let's right away jump to the mitzudos for a more elaborate interpretation. What does it mean? Mashke hamachshil. You cause the stumble. You cause the yosha es hayisham lishkois loleches b'derech sakana. If a person chas v'shalom gives bad advice to a yosha, or a person causes another tzaddik to do an avera, to go in a derech ra sakana, hinei hamachshil atzmo yipol b'sakon. He himself, so it says of the pasuk, bishchusohu yipol. The word bishchuso means in his own corruption, in his own pit.
Yeah.
The Mitzudo says Bishuchasa means Melosh Shachas. Shachas a pit.
Yes, also Boros, Shichin.
Umaoros, a rectangular pit. So he will fall into his own. They have this theme so many times in Tanakh. Hinei ha-machshil atzmu yipol b'ha-sakona, he will fall in his own sakona. Aval. But the pasuk includes ha-tmimim, the tmimim ha-malichim b'derech yashar, the who bring, who guide others on the path of righteousness, of straightness. Gam him yinchalu tov, they also mida, keneged mida, they will benefit from their own guidance. From their own guidance.
Shows the person the right way?
Yes, that's how the Mitzvah appears to learn. Usminim. Usminim, he appears to learn that Usminim is going on the part, in the beginning of the pasuk, Mashkeh. It's the opposite of Mashkeh. Mashkeh means to guide the Yisrael, to mislead. So the Usminim, instead of misleading, they're guiding on the proper deck, they will be rewarded in Chalatov, they will inherit their own good. What the program that they have established for to help others, ultimately they themselves will derive benefit from, will come boomerang, the good little boomerang as well. That's in the Mitzvah. So Rashi says, Bish Chuso in his own pit, Meloshen Shachas, in the pit that he has prepared for the other person, he will fall in, he will fall into his own pit. Okay, now who does it refer to? According to the Medrash, refers to Bilam. Okay, Bilam was the one who advised Balak. We had this before. Bilam advised Balak to send out the Benos Moab for Znus, and that resulted in a battle. That resulted in a Magaif of 24,000, which resulted in Klal Yisrael taking revenge, waging war against Midian in revenge for what they did. And who happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time? Bilam. So Bilam was killed, according to the Midian, we had this before, because of his own advice. Had Bilam minded his own business, he tried to curse Klal Yisrael. It didn't work. Okay, so go home, just get lost. Then he would have lived out his life. He would have lived out his life, old age, whatever he would have had. But because he was not satisfied, he went and gave advice, why don't you go and send out these girls to incite them for Arayos? And they did that, and they succeeded. And 24,000 people died. And then Klal Yisrael went and waged war against Midian in revenge for what they have done. So they killed out the whole nation of Midian. Who was there caught up, who got killed in the crossfire? Bilam himself. So his own evil plot brought about his own premature death. That's what the Medrash. What?
You take the Midrash Tov, it's not a totally equal comparison, because the Midrash Tov seems to say there'll be no harm to the person who wanted to trap.
It does say that. What do you mean? Mitzuda says, "Mashke yishodim baderech b'derech ra kama bishchusohu yipol in his own pit."
No, avlat tamimim.
That's a new idea. Utamimim. That's a new thing. No, utamimim is a new thing. According to the Utamimim, means utamimim. According to the Mitzuda, is a person who guides someone else derech hayasha. You take a person. You take a person who's off the derech, and you bring him on the derech. And you guide him, you never know, that person that you put back on the derech, who knows, 20 years later, he's going to be the one that's going to give your children parnasa. He's going to be the one that's going to be the shatran for your children. He himself, his own children, will marry your children. So you do someone a favor, you're really doing yourself a favor.
So the first part of the question
was, you're doing someone harm, you're doing yourself harm.
With no residual damage to anybody else?
What do you mean residual damage? There's always residual damage.
You want to, in other words, a sham that's going down to Derech HaSukhana, right? If you want to trap somebody to go down to Derech HaSukhana, he might not, but with the sham that you wanted to trap not being impacted, or being impacted.
They will be, it depends. Let's assume the worst scenario. You mislead people. You never heard of people being misled? Happens all the time. You never hear of people complaining that the yeshiva ruined their children? You hear it all the time. So it happens all the time, it says. People have been misled, so you're misleading them. And the truth is, you are misleading yourself. Ultimately, you will suffer the consequence of your own actions. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Ba'aloitz. I'm sorry, pasuk Gidalev. Chacham be'enav ish asher. This is a great pasuk. Chacham be'enav ish asher. The Dal Mevin Yach Kimera. There are many interpretations. Let's see the Mitzudas, what he says. Chacham Ha'asher in Chacham, the Mitzudas learns the Pasuk read backwards. You have to read the words backwards. We start off with the word Ashir. A rich man, Ish Ashir, thinks he's a Chacham Be'enav. How did I get so rich? How in the world did I become a millionaire? It's only because I'm a genius. I'm a genius. Ever heard that one before? And the truth is, his success has absolutely nothing to do with his chachma. It's a gift. It's a gift. Hashem gives a person to whom he wants ma'asim b'chol yom. Look at people who are wealthy people in this world. They're the biggest tipshim. Mayor, you agree?
Absolutely. That's
it's,
the only reason I'm not rich.
No, but there are chachamim also. There are chachamim also that are rich. It's not a set rule. There are many people that through their chachamim they become very wealthy also. But there are many tipshim that are also extremely wealthy. And what's the pshat? The pshat is they have a zuchus. They have some zuchus. Who knows why? Hashem runs the world, and Hashem gives them money. So ish, according to the Mitzvah, it says ish chacham ha'ashir machazik atzmo l'chacham. He thinks he's a wise man. It's all his great chacham that brought about his success. Avo lecheinu, it's not so. Ki'af hadal im hu mevin yachar b'divrei chacham yosim. And because the dal, the poor person, loy lachachamim lechem. The dal, the pasuk concludes according to the Mitzvah, the dal, the poor man, he's mevin. He understands chachma very well. And Yach Kirenu, he seeks it. The Dal, he's going for his fifth PhD. Okay, he's on. And with all the Chachma, he still can't figure out how to make $5. He still can't figure out anything. Even if he's a Maven, the Yachkar, he's a Maven that's not just a wise, brilliant mind. He's Yachkar, but Divrei Chachma, he loves Chachma, he inquires. Yoiser Mimenu. Yet he remains a dal, he's poor. Ki ein ha'oisher siba ela chachma. Powerful words, wealth is not, oisher is not a cause for, it's not a siba, a cause for chachma, meaning that the two are not related. There are some very wise people that are very poor, and there's very foolish people that are very wealthy. Dvarim pshutim. Now there's a very beautiful medrash. The beautiful medrash over here says that the Ashir, there are different spins on this medrash. Let's first over here see what Rashi says before we go further. Rashi pasuk Aleph, Ish Ashir v'dal mevin keneged rav talmud hu medaber shatalmud choker v'al yodoy harav machkin. Okay, so the Ish Ashir, Rashi explains the rav and the talmud. The talmud is the choker. So the Talmud starts off poor. The Al Yodoy, and through him, Harav Mischakim, the Rav becomes wise. So if you read the whole pasuk in its entirety, it then means.
That's
Talmida Yosem Yikulam. Where did the Chacham get his? The Chacham become an Asher. The Asher here means Asher and Chachma. Asher and Chachma. Rashi L'shitas in the previous pasukim. So he thinks. He thinks he got it. I think this is what Rashi means. I'm not sure, but I think Rashi means he thinks I'm a chacham because I'm a genius. It's not because you're a genius. The Talmidim made you a genius. The Talmidim Vidal Maven Yach Kerenu. It's through the poor students who are seeking understanding, and Yach Kerenu are making inquiries, are asking questions. That's what brought out the chokhma in the Ashir. But the Rebbe doesn't realize. The Rebbe thinks the reason why I'm a chacham, the reason why I'm so successful, is because I'm a chacham be'enaf. It's only due to my great brilliance. If not for your talmidim, you wouldn't even know how to read. We know anything. It's only because they were yachkirenu. They inspired you to develop, to become the talmud chacham that you have become. Okay, that's a very interesting idea. Mitalmida Yoisa Mikulam, but this pasuk is adding to this idea. Mitalmida Yoisa Mikulam is that the Rebbe himself doesn't even realize that it's Mitalmida Yoisa Mikulam. Okay, let's go now to a couple of midrashim on this pasuk. Okay, let me read you the two midrashim which are just the opposites. The first medrash is Chacham Ein of Ish Asher Ze Bal HaTalmud. a Baal Talmud thinks he is an he's a true chacham. Now, and it says Be'enav here is not being according to the Medrash. According to this Medrash, not even the Medrash. It's a Yerushalmi. This is a Yerushalmi. This Yerushalmi Masechta Horius that he's only a chacham be'enav, meaning no one appreciates his chachma. A Baal Talmud means he knows Shas and Paiskim, but Shas and Paiskim relative to a Baal Agada. Today, who are the big popular people in the newspaper? Okay, open up the newspaper without giving any names. There's certain people that are Magidim. Everyone is coming to invite them to speaking occasions, and they pay them big bucks. Pesach, hotels. Who will be with us on the cruise? This person, this amazing person. He's a great story. Yeah. What? They get a free cruise, but they also, besides, they get paid. And what is his koyach? His koyach is he can tell a good story. I don't mean in a bad way. I mean in a good way. He can tell a good story, and then the people, they can sing, right? They know how to sing, but. We know, we've been raised, that that's not the ikkar. The ikkar are not the stories. The ikkar is not the singing. The ikkar is not the food. The ikkar is to be a Talmud Chacham. And a Talmud Chacham, a real, and I don't think we even know what to say, real Talmud Chacham, a real Talmud Chacham, a person that's Yoimon Valayla, Shakua, immersed in learning. The real deal. Where do you find such people? People that are real Talmud. But many of the real Talmud Chacham, if you ask the average person in the street, they'll tell you, yeah, they're very big Talmud Chacham, they're Goinim, but they're very boring. I'm not going to go to a shir even if my life depends on it. I wouldn't go listen to his shir. Because he's just boring. They're boring. Now they learn, that's not so. They just don't have that koyach. And even if they weren't very good Bali Masbir, the topic is not, it's not always a topic which is very appealing to the Hamoinam. It's exactly who is the person that everyone is seeking? Who is the one that's the Yach Kirenu? It's the Balei Agada. This is what it says in the Yerushalmi. So, but the Balei Agada, they're dal. Usually with the territory comes, it usually comes to the territory, not all the time, they're not, relatively speaking, compared to the Beit Talmid Echam, they're poor, they're dal in Chochmah, they're not known to be the greatest Chochmah. You know, everyone knows the Meshech Chochmah, the Sefer, the Ar Sameach, what's the name? Meir Simcha Mi, Dvinsk. So when he published his the Meshach, how old was he? 22 years old? 18 years old? When he published the Meshach, I think he was either 18 years old or 22 years old, so his father did not want him to publish the Meshach Chachma. His father was opposed to him publishing the Meshach Chachma. The Meshach Chachma is known to be probably the top of a swarm of Machshava and Jewish, revolutionized the world of Machshava, of interpreting, darshaning on the Torah. His father, because they're going to say about you that you're a maggid. Your chances for parnasa, your chances for godless will be crushed. You'll get a reputation that you're a maggid. And the maggid, what was a maggid? A person that went from city to city, telling stories, a storyteller, and giving inspiration. And these people were not looked, not a generation where people where Chachma was valued, were not viewed as people who have anything to offer to society. They just tell stories. They just, so if you're going to Darsh, to be a big Darsh, the Meshech Chachma, no, you have a reputation that you're Magid, and you'll never get a real job teaching in a yeshiva or a real position as a Rav. That was the mindset. Because it goes with the territory. People who are in the category of Yach Kirenu, as the Pasuk says, people who are Maven Yach Kirenu, I think here it's an expression, they understand how Maven means they understand Agoda. They are the people that are Yach Kirenu, that the Hamoinam is seeking their services, they're paying their money, but the truth is Vidal, they're poor people. They're in Chochma. They're not major league. In contrast to that, the beginning of the pasuk tells us about the Chacham. These are the people, the wise men, who is truly an Ish Ashir. They're very wealthy in knowledge, but Be'enof. They're only wise for themselves, because no one is interested in hearing a word they have to say. They're boring. So the Chochmah is the Ashirus remains Be'enof. No one is coming to seek this out. That's what it says in the Yerushalmi, with the words Yerushalmi. Darash Mishulba Braid Rabbi Yosef Berbon, Chacham Be'enof Ish Ashir Ze Bal HaTalmud. So he is Shuchacham Be'iyunoi V'Darash Be'enof. He distortions for himself. There's no one else. But V'Dal Maven Yachirenu Ze Bal HaGodo. The Balagoda, he's a Dal, but he's a person that's Yachkirenu. Everyone is seeking him out because he has what to say. He's stimulating. Okay, then there's another medrash that says just the opposite. Chacham be'enav ish ashir. Okay, I can't seem to find it here on the spot, but that means an. You know, I can't find this. I don't want to say what it means. Chacham be'enav ze asher ze bal mikra, v'dal mev v'yachkrenu ze bal talmud. Here is the opposite. The chacham be'enav ish asher is the bal mikra. It's a wonderful thing. It's a good thing. You're wealthy. It means you're satisfied. It's something that's very easy to conquer. I think that's what it means. It's easy. It's relatively speaking easier to conquer Tanakh than it is to conquer the Talmud. Tanakh, you study Tanakh. You know what it says. You know the basic Mefarshim. You can master it if you apply yourself. But Talmud, no matter how much time you spend studying the Talmud, you will always remain a Dal. Because there's always more to study. The Koyach Talmud is infinite. The Dal Mevim Yachkirenu, the Dal, the one who studies Talmud, Zebal Talmud, he's always seeking more and more. There's no end. You're putting yourself into a limud that is infinite. Okay, we'll stop over here.